Hello, and welcome to the 404 Media Podcast, where we bring you unparalleled access to hidden worlds, both online and IRL. 404 Media is a journalist-founded company and needs your support. To subscribe, go to 404media.co. As well as other bonus content, subscribers can hear us answer their questions in future podcasts. Ask us anything you want on podcast at 404media.co. I'm your host, Joseph, and with me today are two of the other 404 Media co-founders, the first being Sam Cole.
Hello.
And the second being Emmanuel Mayberg.
Hey, what's up?
Jason's out this week, so we're going to focus on some pieces that we wrote. And the first is one that both of you contributed to. I mean, as basically the two reporters who have followed not just the abuse of deepfakes more than anyone, but also the abuse of, you know, I would say AI in general more than anyone. The headline is, "The Taylor Swift Deepfakes Disaster Threatens to Change the Internet as We Know It." Now, listeners probably can already anticipate that we're going to be talking about the viral images of Taylor Swift, which were, you know, abusive and non-consensual intimate imagery generated with AI. We will get into that context, and then we'll go into sort of the thrust of the piece. But I guess just from the top, maybe Sam to start and then Emmanuel to elaborate briefly if you want. But sort of what's the takeaway from your article in sort of one or two lines before we get into the context and before we develop on it? Is it that things won't get any better until something even worse than this happens? I mean, what's the takeaway, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that things won't get better, certainly. I mean, it's not, you know, we're fucked, which we are, but that's really not kind of the point of what we wrote. It's more that things have, you know, gotten to this point for a reason, and that reason is, you know, many, many different factors at play, especially this kind of race and push toward profit over developing AI and developing new tools without, you know, thinking about how to use them thoughtfully and without harming people. And, you know, it's like it's gone on for 6 years. We first started writing about deepfake 6 years ago. And at the time, it was kind of like, okay, well, we should do something about this. Like, you know, everyone was like, do something. And nothing really got done. Nothing happened to really address the issue. And now we have, you know, this huge celebrity, probably one of the most famous people in the world, being affected by this issue. It's across, you know, many different demographics at this point. Lots of people are aware of it. And nothing has really gotten done to fix it. So it's like, you know, what is it going to take, essentially? And I think the answer is something really, really bad. And we're not going to like the repercussions and the fallout after it.
Yeah. Before we get into how we got to this point, Emmanuel, is that fair of what the takeaway is, you think, just briefly?
Yeah, I think we're in a pretty wild spot right now with generative AI and social media. And I think that it's going to get much worse. And then we're probably going to see an overcorrection, which might also be bad.
Right. Yeah. And we'll get to the potentials around that. So let's recap what happened in case listeners aren't aware, and of course, to provide context anyway. But last week, a bunch of images went viral on Twitter. These were sexual, pornographic, abusive in nature of Taylor Swift, and, you know, obviously without her consent. Sam, what actually were these images? Because, like, I never actually saw these. Somehow, even though when they were going viral on Twitter, I never saw them. Maybe I'm in the last quiet part of Twitter or something, and I don't know how I didn't manage to see them. And then when I've read your coverage, I've taken your word for it, because I know that you're doing it properly, and I don't need to see these images. But, like, what were they exactly?
I mean, without, like, I don't want to, like, burn people's ears right off the bat here.
Right.
You know,
don't
it's,
get too explicit.
It's,
maybe just yeah, give yeah, us yeah. a sense. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was hardcore porn. It was still images, not videos, which makes it different than a lot of deepfakes we've seen, but they were generative. So it wasn't like based on another image. It was, you know, created completely without, you know, any other references other than like her face. They were themed in like gangbangs. It was a lot of it was like the Chiefs, like the football team, because her boyfriend is on the Chiefs. A lot of it was like, you know, the football players having sex with her and all these, you know, crazy positions. Yeah, a lot of it was like really aggressive, hardcore porn. And, you know, a lot of it was, you know, the focal point is like her face. It's the idea is like, oh, this is definitely meant to be degrading toward a real person.
Right. And a specific person, because she's very identifiable yep. with her face, and obviously being, you know, possibly the most famous person on the planet right now, you know?
Yeah.
So they go viral. They get seen, what, tens of millions of times, you know? And then we'll get into sort of Twitter's response later. But Emmanuel, the two of you then trace those images from Twitter back to a specific Telegram group. What was going on in that group?
Yeah, so as you've said, Sam and I have been reporting on deepfakes and non-consensual pornography for many years now. And we do it every day, and we're embedded in these communities, and we're sort of watching what they do every day. So I also actually missed the moment it went viral. And Joe, I don't know what you were doing, but I was simply not on Twitter that much, which I'm just.
I think it was a weekend.
Yeah,
right. It was like Friday or Saturday.
Week, I think.
Oh, okay.
But
I think it really blew up on like Saturday though, and I completely.
I see.
Missed it also.
Well, I got to it in the middle of the week, and yeah. I'm just like not on Twitter as much for all the reasons that everyone who's been on the platform knows. And when I saw the images. Because of the style of the image, like the quality of the image itself and the content, my first reaction was, I've seen these before. And sure enough, I went to a Telegram channel where people share all types of non-consensual pornography. There is deepfakes as we traditionally think about them with video and the faces of celebrities kind of planted in porn that people rip from the internet. And then there is just like the ancient method of photoshopping images, and also this new method of using generative AI to make non-consensual images. And sure enough, I went in there and I scrolled up and I saw that the exact same images were posted to the Telegram channel a day before they hit Twitter. Now, that is sort of the main way that I saw them appear on Twitter. But after we published the story, and the story is now updated with this information, I discovered that some of the images also appeared on 4chan even earlier in January. So some of the images originate on 4chan, are reposted to Telegram, and then are posted to Twitter. And some of them were originating on Telegram and then going directly to Twitter.
Yes. So, I mean, you laid out that pipeline from 4chan to Telegram to Twitter. That makes sense. But just to stress that on that or in that Telegram channel, there are people who are generating this sort of material whole cloth as well. Like, it's not just a vessel to then get over to Twitter. The production of this material happens here as well. Is that right?
Yeah, they happen on both. And with both of the 4chan community and the Telegram community were focusing on at the time that these images were being produced is a specific tool made by Microsoft called Designer. This works a lot like Bing that we have covered before and talked on the podcast before, where it's a text-to-image AI tool. You type what you want to see, and the AI instantly produces an image to match that prompt. Designer was made in order to enrich your PowerPoint presentation. It's just a tool that is made to kind of complement the Office suite of tools that Microsoft has. And obviously that means that Microsoft did not design it for or want people to use it for making non-consensual pornography. So if you were to go in there and type Taylor Swift, it would not produce an image of Taylor Swift. If you were to go in there and type woman nude, it would not produce that image. And certainly if you were to type in Taylor Swift nude, it would not produce that image. However, as was the case with Bing and the whole SpongeBob debacle, where we were able to... Go ahead.
Briefly explain that SpongeBob thing.
So yeah. Bing would not produce... If you were to type a prompt that says SpongeBob doing 9/11, it wouldn't create that. But if you were to type in a prompt that says SpongeBob in a cockpit of an airplane flying towards two tall skyscrapers, it would produce that image and it would look exactly like SpongeBob doing 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's just that the way Microsoft's moderation works is the AI knows how to make the image. It's just that the guardrails are looking out for specific terms. And if you use those terms, it won't produce the image. But you can describe what you're trying to produce without using those keywords. And that's what people were doing with Designer. And I don't want to get...
And what were they... Yes, I think you were going to say you don't want to get super specific, but they were basically using a workaround similar to the SpongeBob one, but to generate explicit non-consensual imagery.
Right. So it involves both misspelling names, and then also if I was to show you a pornographic image and I would ask you to describe it without using any sexual terms, it would be difficult, but you'd be able to do it as a smart human being. And that is generally what people were doing. They were describing a sexual image without using sexual terms, thereby bypassing Microsoft guardrails and producing the images.
Right. And connected to the SpongeBob thing, it reminds me of what Sam wrote back when she wrote about the SpongeBob thing. And it was something like that those bypasses are possible because AI is not capable, or these particular versions of AI, right, are not capable of abstract thought. I think that's what Sam wrote, correct me if I'm wrong. But when it comes to that, you publish that, you find not only that the images came in part from Telegram, but members of that community are using Microsoft's tool for this. That got a lot of attention because obviously that is, you know, really moving the Taylor Swift AI story forward. Microsoft then took action. I'm not sure which one of you were in communication with Microsoft, but Sam, what did Microsoft do exactly?
I mean, they did the same thing that they tried to do with the SpongeBob story, which was basically try to play keyword prompt whack-a-mole. It's like, you can't just keep banning chunks of phrases forever. Like you said, these AIs aren't capable of the same kind of connections and abstract thought that humans are. So I can think of like a dozen nicknames for Taylor Swift off the top of my head that people use on social media that the AI will know. So if you're banning Taylor Swift nude, or even like, you know, a handful of the names that she could go by, it's still gonna find them, and people are still gonna find ways around it. Emmanuel was the one who actually wrote that story and was talking to Microsoft directly. So, I mean, Emmanuel, what did you hear from them as far as their response?
So as Sam says, you know, they made changes. Like they're playing the whack-a-mole game, and they told us they're making changes. Part of the problem is we don't know what the guardrails are in the first place, and we don't know what the improvements are. We just know that they're being made. And I'm saying that not just because Microsoft told me, but because I was watching the Telegram channel and 4chan in real time reacting. And as we were talking to Microsoft, people in those communities were starting to complain that their workarounds no longer work. And also we were doing our own testing at the time, and we saw that those workarounds stop working.
Right. Yes, that makes sense. And of course, I think the Microsoft CEO went on NBC, right, and gave an interview as well. And then the White House somehow got involved. Emmanuel, what was like some of the other fallout here? Because this is like an AI story that's broken out of like our pretty niche, let's be real, technology investigations website, right? This has really taken off in a different way. Like, what's some of the other fallout?
Yeah, so as far as the White House goes, you know, they were doing their daily press briefing and the spokesperson for the White House said that it's very concerning. And Satya Nadella, Microsoft CEO, went on the nightly news and said it's very concerning. And they're improving their tools and their guardrails. As you say, this has broken through in a major way, and it's not a huge mystery why. This is the biggest celebrity in the world that has a very active following. Like, not every pop star has like this Swiftie army component to their fame. And people are really invested in Taylor Swift, and they really hated to see this happen. And it made this thing that we've been covering for many years kind of more relevant, and it just resonated with people. This is what we get to in our piece, but this reaction is only possible because of Taylor Swift. But this doesn't only happen to Taylor Swift. This is happening to many, many, many people. It happens to minor celebrities. It happens to normal people. It happens to them every day. We talk to these people regularly, and the White House does not mobilize itself for an Instagram influencer who is being deepfaked or just a random person.
Yeah, Sam, you in the piece today included a throwback to an interview you did with somebody who has been impacted by similar images, right? I think that was deepfake at the time, but like, what is your sort of feeling from talking to victims like that who, as Emmanuel says, are not the biggest pop star in the world right now and getting shout outs at White House briefings?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, it's just, it's bizarre, honestly, because, you know, you have Taylor Swift, obviously a huge celebrity, as we all know. She rarely, if ever, speaks about current events or politics or wades into stuff like this or like defends herself even against like trolls and things like that as it's happening. Like, she'll, you know, write about it in 2 years and we'll get an album. But it's something that people are still dealing with now. And the Twitch streamer that I talked to a couple years ago, she's not like a, like, her name is QT Cinderella, and she's not like a name that like your parents would recognize, you know, or even like most millennials would recognize probably, but she has a big following and she got deepfaked, and her friends who are also streamers, who are, you know, massively popular as well, got caught watching it, which is just another layer of, you know, fucked upness of it all, that your friends are watching this extremely violating content. And I think something that she said that stuck with me was, you don't really know how it's going to feel until it happens to you. So it's easy to brush it off and to say, oh, well, it's fake, so like, get over it. You know, it's not real. You're being like dramatic or whatever it is. And she was like, I'm surprised how deeply it affected me. It re-traumatized me as far as like some old triggers. So yeah. And something that victims have feel like they have to do a lot of the time, especially if they have any sort of platform, is come forward and say, this is exactly how it affected me, which in itself re-traumatizes them. You know, having to come forward and say, can you see how bad this is for me? It's not just like, oh, this weird image of me having sex that I never had. It's then, you know, thousands, millions of people in my replies, in my DMs, emailing me, telling me to die, like telling me I'm a slut. And like, they know it's fake too. Everyone knows it's fake. But because of this culture that we have where, you know, a sex tape of you that you didn't want out there is the worst thing that could ever happen to a woman, as at least in terms of like what society sees as like your value, that's that compounds the entire issue. It's like, it's not just, oh, I was grossed out by this fake video. It's people's response, and it's, you know, the social response to the whole thing. So yeah, I mean, it's a burden that victims shouldn't have to have on them. No one is expected or required to speak out. But, you know, I think we saw a lot of people being like, oh, protect Taylor Swift. And then a lot of people saying, oh, well, she's a billionaire, so who cares?
She's still a woman.
Which, I mean, she's still a real person. And also, this happens to a lot of people. So her having that visibility might help, you know, at least raise awareness that this is a thing for more people. And I don't know. I mean, we're going to see, like, this is what we wrote about. But we're going to see how this shakes out, you know, as far as the crackdown that's coming, which I think Amanda and I both feel like there is some kind of big, I don't know, crackdown coming against porn in general, even more so, not just the non-consensual stuff.
Well, you bring that up because I was going to bring like two or three just paragraphs from the article out. But since you brought that one up, Emmanuel, what could you elaborate on that? Like, what is this crackdown exactly that may happen, and why might that happen?
So I think a really good way to explain it is to talk about what happened to Pornhub. Sam and I, for the entire time that we've been writing about deepfakes, we've also been focused on Pornhub. And if you go back to, you know, 2017, 2018, and especially in 2019, when we started reporting on the Girls Do Porn case, which Girls Do Porn was a porn production company that we found out 400 women or so that were in those videos were coerced to star in them and were lied about what was going to happen in the videos. And the FBI charged Girls Do Porn as a sex trafficking ring. And as we're reporting about this, you know, we're writing stories regularly. We're reaching out to Pornhub. At the time, anyone can upload a video to Pornhub. And that resulted in a lot of abusive material on the platform. And we're writing stories. We're reaching out for comment. Pornhub is responding, but largely the sentiment is like, it's not a big deal. We have moderation policies. We'll take down videos if people tell us that they're bad. And it went on like this for years, and it didn't seem like anything was going to change. But then the lawsuits started to pile up from these Girls Do Porn victims, and then also victims of child abuse that was present on the platform. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. Pornhub rebrands, it changes its leadership, it purges the platform of millions of videos, and Sam just reported that now, if you want to upload a video to Pornhub, you need a consent form from every single person in the video. Which overall, you know, it's a better platform now. It's a safer, better platform with less abuse, but the harm that Pornhub was doing got so severe and got so much attention that there was like a huge overcorrection, and it fueled a lot of like anti-sex work sentiment and pushed those people further into the margins. And I say all this because I think we are currently in the it's not a big deal phase of this story. But
of deep fakes and
of generative AI specifically, yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, it's a tool and you can make bad things and they show up, but we do stuff about it. You know, you tell Microsoft and they make changes. So it works, you know, it's like we're responsible people. Bad stuff happens. It's like it's going to be OK. And to me, it just feels like a rerun. It's like it feels like it's OK. But and you know, we've been reporting on generative AI for a while now. And then this Taylor Swift happens. This Taylor Swift story happens and everything changes, right? White House, Twitter, everything.
Like the whole conversation, not even just the participants, the number of participants, or sort of the for lack of a better way of putting it, the seniority of those participants, the White House or whoever. It's just like the conversation feels different now.
It's the heat. It's the heat. It's like you're playing GTA and suddenly it's 5 stars and it's like, it's too much. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't handle it. And that's what happened. You know, it's like even Elon Musk, you know, for all his like, I don't give a fuck and like free speech and all that stuff. It's like he blocked Taylor Swift as a search term. I don't think that I've seen the platform do that. It's like, this is big, right. big. And as big as this is, something bigger will happen where the hammer is going to come down on all of these companies. And then I personally am worried we'll see an overcorrection. It's like, Sam always brings this up. And I don't think people realize that Twitter is one of the few places where sex workers can exist with relative ease. It's not perfect, but it's not Instagram and it's not Facebook where it's just like total erasure. It's like, it's not allowed. No talking about sex and no advertising of sex toys and nothing.
Or even a photo of a nipple in some cases.
Nothing. And it's very easy to imagine Elon Musk going, it's like, damn, that was scary. How about we just solve this by saying no porn at all? Which is what every other platform is doing. And that would be really bad. And similarly with generative AI tools, it's like people really hate how limited ChatGPT is. But if every tool has an incident like this, everything is going to end up looking over-moderated like the OpenAI products. And I don't hugely have a dog in the fight of like what these tools, like how much money they make these companies and all that, but it's like, I don't think we all want to live in a world where it's just like everything is as strict as ChatGPT.
Yeah. Just a couple more points before we move on to the other story about completely uncensored AI. There's a paragraph in the piece that says the state of non-consensual AI-generated pornography on the internet at the moment is completely out of control. AI startups are flush with cash from venture capitalists, and they are racing to make their tools available before they stop to stress test how those tools could be abused, and nobody seems to care until the Swifties show up. Emmanuel, you've covered a fair bit of like the VC side, you know, like A16Z, putting money into companies you've covered. What do you mean by... Well, so, sort of just briefly elaborate on what it means that these AI startups are getting a ton of cash and they're sort of just going. Like, how's that relevant here?
I mean, quite simply, Microsoft is not a startup. Microsoft is the most valuable company in the world right now. But it seems very clear to me that everyone is rushing to market because they want to be a dominant player in this emerging space, which seems like it will be very important. So Microsoft wants Designer out there, and it wants as many people using it as soon as possible because it might end up like a very important part of their business a few years from now. So it's like, get it to market now, get people on it, get people generated, get them hooked, and let's do it before Google, and let's do it before OpenAI, or actually OpenAI is, I think that's a partnership. Like before all their other competitors. And when you're rushing products to market like that, you're not taking as much time as they obviously should be taking to red team their products, as they say. They're not stress testing them enough, obviously, because look at how easy it is for people to make so many bad images with them. And if they put safety ahead of this race to market, we probably would not see as much abuse.
Yeah. All right. I think to close out, there's just the final paragraph of the story here that Sam, I'll let you elaborate on. Let me just read it out. We're never going to get a perfect solution. The cat is in fact out of the bag in the sense that the technology exists and easy enough to use that someone somewhere will always be motivated enough to create and share these images. But that is a far cry from a community of thousands of people using a free tool made by the most valuable company in the world, Microsoft, and pushing it in front of millions of social media users before anyone stops it. I guess, Sam, just anything else you want people to sort of take away from that? And especially the idea that we're never going to have a perfect solution, right? But that's not really the goal here, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, like any kind of, I don't know, thoughtfulness or oversight would be something that isn't just like smash the ban button on phrases. That's so stupid. AI, Taylor Swift AI is still banned on Twitter. Maybe we'll never come back. Maybe they just hit that button and threw away the key to it. I don't know. I mean, there's just, I don't know. Like I always, in these conversations, it's always like, what's the solution? What's the technological solution? What's the legislative solution? You know, how can we make this illegal? How can we make it harder for people to do it? Which are like things that should happen and should happen in conversation with victims and sex workers and not just like old dudes in Congress. And certainly not just with people who are trying to get porn wiped off of the internet in general. But, you know, it's, we've seen in the last 6 years, something that we have seen actually is this shift in the idea that it's fine and okay to do this. It's people generally agree that it's not. And that this is not cool and you shouldn't do it and you shouldn't share it and it's gross. You know, it's just not something that you should do, on par with like, you know, quote unquote revenge porn, where, you know, 10 years ago, that was the big movement where you're sharing, don't share it, don't look at it, don't look at the celeb leaks and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's a technological problem. It's a legal problem. It's largely at this point a social problem as well. There's always going to be guys on 4chan doing this stuff. It's just always going to happen. It's always going to be, and Emmanuel noted this in the piece too, it's always going to be this kind of like this minority that's really motivated to develop these tools and launch them out to the world so that people can use them. But I think that if we can just kind of keep in this trajectory of collectively being like, no, like this is loser behavior, I think maybe we can get toward something closer to more sustainable solutions, because there will always be loopholes. There will always be workarounds. There will always be legal, you know, ways that people can get out of this stuff. But, and we're talking about the internet. It's the internet. It's, you know, where do you legislate that kind of thing? Where is jurisdiction on the internet? Is a problem that's been a problem for 30 years. So yeah, I think the harder issue is how do we teach young people especially that this isn't something you should be doing to begin with. Like this isn't people you want to hang out with. And I think that's a much harder problem that no one really wants to address because you can't just write a bill about it. Unless you're writing a sex education bill, in that case, I am quitting this job and going to go full lobbyist.
Right. You can't yeah. write a law for that, but you also can't write a line of code for that, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Sorry. A bit of an aside, I just want to say, it is shocking that Twitter blocked Taylor Swift as a search term. That's really big. And I'm sure that's not going to like hurt Taylor Swift's career. But to be clear, not a solution. It's like, that is no right. kind of solution. Like, imagine that you're like aspiring Twitch streamer and somebody makes a deepfake of you and it starts circulating on Twitter and you tell Twitter, and what they do is that they block your username and real name, and then you're like completely erased from the platform. It just like, yeah. it's such a desperate move and completely doesn't solve anything.
It's very dumb. It's because there's three guys there doing this at this point. Elon fired everybody else. Maybe it's just him doing it.
Right.
Just him coding it and being like, just block the phrase.
Yeah, just turning on the button. All right, we'll leave that there. But you did mention, you know, an extreme minority of motivated people doing this sort of thing. We will take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be briefly talking about exactly that, how a neo-Nazi group is now telling its users to use uncensored AI. We will be right back after this.
So my 404 media colleagues probably remember when I got doxxed, which was a nightmare for everyone involved, mostly me. My name, address, phone number, social security number, and a bunch of other information was leaked online, which led to all these spam calls, harassment, threats, etc. Even if you're not a journalist, a sophisticated network of data brokers is making your personal information available to the highest bidder. I fixed my problem with Delete Me, which is a service that basically looks you up on all these people search websites and data broker websites and formally gets you removed from them. The subscription service removes your personal info from the largest search databases on the web, helping prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I'm a real Delete Me customer. I've been using it for more than 5 years. Sign up is so easy. You just go to their website and then they send you personalized privacy reports showing you what info they found, where they found it, and how they got it removed. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now with a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/404media and use promo code 404media at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/404media and enter code 404media at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/404media, code 404media.
All right, and we are back. Emmanuel wrote this story. The headline is, founder of neo-Nazi group The Base instructs followers to use uncensored AI. Emmanuel, first of all, just what is The Base?
So The Base is an extremist neo-Nazi group that has been designated as a terrorist organization, and that plans real-world violence, and several of its members have been arrested by the FBI.
Yeah, and linked to murders, from what I remember. And, you know, yes, they're dangerous and very extreme, motivated. I think their founder, last known whereabouts, were in Russia. You know, there was a lot of coverage from our colleagues back at Vice News when we all worked at Motherboard, and they did great work. Stuff has sort of died down a little bit, I think, after the FBI busts, but I mean, they're still out and the founder is still out, because that's what we're going to talk about now. As the headline suggests, the founder told followers to use some sort of AI. I mean, what did he actually tell those people to do? And I have the quote here if you just want me to read it. Or
let's start with the quote.
Sure. So I'll read it out and then you sort of translate this for me. So the quote is, this is not a chatbot, so you can't have a conversation with it. Nevertheless, it can provide detailed, uncensored responses to specific questions, even if potentially criminal in nature. But don't use it for that, of course. Ha 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 ha. I added the ha ha ha. And that was on, I think, Gab, right? And maybe some other platform. What exactly is he talking about here?
Yeah, I wonder why he's being coy, because he's posting this to Gab, where he can say pretty much whatever he wants, and also on Telegram, where he certainly can. But basically, he is referring to the fact that this is not a chatbot in the sense that ChatGPT is, where you go to a website and you ask it questions and it kind of is very user-friendly and will converse with you. This is a large language model that you have to work a little bit to get running. Previously, when we reported on these, we ran these locally on our machines, which is not that hard. Like, if we can do it, it's not that hard. We're not computer scientists.
Well, it's not hard for you with your massive gaming PC.
Right. And Sam also has a massive gaming PC.
That's right.
We were both able to do it. You never.
I'm gonna try on my PS5. We'll see if I can generate
try
that.
Try it on your iPad.
Yeah, but there's some work involved. You have to download the model, you have to find like an interface that lets you interact with it. It's a little bit more complicated. And the reason people go through the trouble of doing that a lot of the time is that it will do things that ChatGPT will not. Some of those things I think are pretty benign. Like, people just want to have role play with a chatbot and explore their sexuality and things like this. And sometimes, I mean, well, certainly in this case, what Nazar here is suggesting is that
that's the base founder, Nazar.
Yes, right? Sorry, yeah. Ronaldo Nazar is the founder. He's suggesting that you can get some dangerous information from the large language model. And when I've reported on these quote-unquote uncensored models in our testing, we did find that they were able to produce like alarming answers that includes like, oh, give me instructions on how to kill someone, how would you carry out ethnic cleansing, how would you cook meth, and things like this.
Stuff that ChatGPT is probably not going to tell you. So just to get a bit more specific, first of all, like, what is this AI model? I think it has a really long, complicated name that I can't be bothered to read out. But if you have it in front of you, that's great. Sort of just what is it called? And then, like, there's almost like a relay race of how we got here, right? Between these various developers. So, like, what's it called first?
Yeah. I mean, rather than focus on like the very long name of the model Nazar was eventually pointing to, let's talk about how it gets there. Like, how is this model, how does it arrive on the internet?
Sure.
So there is a now very big, very valuable French startup called Mistral, I think it's pronounced. Mm-hmm. And they produce open source, again, quote unquote, uncensored large language models. And they put them out on the internet so anyone can use them. They put out a model called Mixtral 8. And then someone named Eric Hartford, who is kind of an important figure in the uncensored AI space, takes it and modifies it and puts it on Hugging Face. Another person in that space takes that model, modifies it further, posts his version on Hugging Face. Somebody takes that and posts it to a website called Replicate that does this interfacing that I was telling you about. Like, if you download the model from Hugging Face, it's just a bunch of files. You're not going to be able to run it unless you know what you're doing. But he uploads it to Replicate in a way where anyone can go in and start using the large language model. And that is the link that Nazaro shares.
Yeah, so to sum that up, it starts with, you know, basically a legitimate company in this space.
Huge company, $2 billion. Yes. Yeah.
Right. And they make these uncensored AIs for whatever business or use case that is. It then goes through this complicated sort of morphing a relay race. Like, I almost compare it to like somebody taking a meme and then doing a spin on it and then reposting their version of the meme, like that sort of thing, almost with a clear supply chain, until eventually you end up with this model. Is it fair to just call it Dolphin because that's a word in it, or I'm not for people listening, it's like a very long with like, it's got digits and hyphens and I'm good, I'm just gonna call it Dolphin.
Fair.
You end up with this model called Dolphin, and that is the one that the base founder is pointing to, and you explain all that in the article and people should go read it. But one of the people in that supply chain of the model being changed over time, actually, you managed to speak to them in regards to, hey, look, the base has picked this up, right? What did they say? And it was Hartford, I think.
Yeah, this is Eric Hartford, who I've talked to a couple of times. Like I said, he's kind of a big figure in this space. He puts out these uncensored models. I think he got a lot of attention for taking the Llama model, the Facebook model, and like kind of making an uncensored version of that more popular. And to his credit, you know, he engages, and we always have an honest conversation about this, and he sticks to his guns. And I think it's, I don't think we should easily dismiss his position, which is he is looking at OpenAI and he's looking at ChatGPT. And he thinks that these tools are going to be incredibly important in the future. And he doesn't think it's right that one company kind of imposes its values on the rest of society, assuming these become as important to society as everyone in this space seems to think. And as an alternative, he's providing these uncensored models where, yes, they will produce bad information, dangerous information, but that is preferable to giving one company the power to decide what is allowed and not allowed.
Right, sure. And what did he say in relation to this being picked up by the base? Was it more just a clarifying of his position that, like, you know, bad people will use it as well?
Yeah, he said, you know, first of all, he said that he's not familiar with the base, which, okay, must be nice. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, bad people are out there, but it's like they're really bad, you know?
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that's his position. It's like bad people exist. They will do bad things. And I apologize because we've said this a million times, but it's like it's the same position that everyone who's like an AI booster has, which is like tools are tools and people could do good things with them and they could do bad things with them. And it's basically not his responsibility if they do bad things with them, which I'm not even going to dispute right here.
Right.
Like, I think it's more complicated than he says, but yeah. I'm certainly not blaming him for, you know, a neo-Nazi leader saying that people should use AI.
Right, right. I guess just my last question is, if we zoom out a bit, and this almost relates to the Taylor Swift arc and story as well, I mean, what does this show us about the AI ecosystem overall? Is it that, you know, while companies like OpenAI, or even in the case of Microsoft with the Taylor Swift story, putting in, you know, guardrails there on their own tech, is it there are other ways for these people to find what they're looking for, but, you know, those ways may get more difficult for them? I like, what's sort of the takeaway when we look at this space story and zoom out sort of to AI a bit more generally?
I would make two points here. One is that while this is like a completely open source, uncensored, large language model that takes pride in the fact that it's like unrestricted and all that, at the end of the day, because the mainstream tools from big companies are so rushed, they're not that different. You know what I mean? Than these other tools in practice, because people find these workarounds that we were just discussing. But I guess the other point is, if Microsoft locks it down and actually makes like a very restrictive version of Designer or whatever, yes, there's a fallback, right? It's like, this is the alternative to ChatGPT and Stable Diffusion, which is open source and anyone can download it, anyone can tweak, and anyone can find the communities that will help you understand how to do whatever you want with it. They're already there and they're waiting for people who are not satisfied with what Designer or ChatGPT offer. Yeah,
that makes sense. All right, we will leave it there for AI at the moment. If you are listening to the free version of the podcast, I'll now play us out. But if you're a subscriber, we're going to talk about how, this is a crazy sentence, we're going to talk about how an Iranian-linked drug trafficker hired a member of the Hells Angels to assassinate someone on US soil. That legitimately, I didn't think I'd ever say that. You can subscribe and gain access to that content at 404media.co. As a reminder, 404 Media is journalist-founded and supported by subscribers. If you wish to subscribe to 404 Media and directly support our work, please go to 404media.co. You'll get unlimited access to our articles and ad-free version of this podcast. You'll also get to listen to the subscribers-only section, where we talk about a bonus story each week. Another way to support us is by leaving a 5-star rating and review for the podcast. That stuff really helps us out. This has been 404 Media. We will see you again next week.